Battleground State Report with Michael Patrick Leahy and Doug Kellen.
And welcome to the Battleground State Report. Michael Patrick Leahy here, Doug Kellett, off this week. This is the battlegroundy week, I think, Jimmy, our producer. Jimmy, have you noticed it's starting to get the cold Civil War in the United States is starting to heat up. This week it started heating up in Minnesota. Minnesota, one of our battleground states. And, you know, the president lost Minnesota last time around, but not by much. Lost it by, it was a total of, 44,000 votes in 2016. That's only 1.5% of all votes cast. And, you know, if you look at the Electoral College turnout, basically the president, before the faithless electors jumped in, the president won 306 Electoral College votes to Hillary Clinton's 232. 46 of those were in three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. 46 of the president's 306. Wisconsin has 10, Michigan has 16, Pennsylvania has 20 Electoral College votes. They went for the president, but the combined total of votes in those states that went for the president were 100,000. So, you know, just that's not a lot of votes. I mean, there were like, you know, there are 320 million Americans, you know, well over 100 million votes cast. So, you know, 100,000 votes, not a lot. And if they had gone a different way, we would have been talking about instead of 232 Electoral College votes, Hillary Clinton would have had 278. Really? Really? Hillary Clinton. Oh, my goodness. You know, and then we would have had all of the kind of world that Hillary Clinton would have put together. Open borders. No border wall. You know, instead of just 12,000 refugees or 18,000 refugees coming in from non-terror hotbeds, we would have 200,000 all coming in from Syria and Somalia, you know, home of Ilhan Omar. Would have been utter disaster had Hillary Clinton won. And we staved off disaster in America for 4 years, but you know, I think you're going to need another 4 years with Donald Trump. Otherwise, whoever the Democrats nominate, you know, be it Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, who can't tell the truth about her own background, or China Joe Biden, who's all embroiled in this corruption by proxy that his son's involved in, Hunter Biden. You know, the famous guy whose major accomplishment has been to be kicked out of the Navy for testing positive for cocaine.
And the president called him a loser.
A loser. Yeah. Called him a loser at this big rally this past week in Minnesota. And it was at the Target Center. And turned out to be there's some violence there. And the violence was perpetrated by, you know, the tolerant left. Yeah. You want to talk about oxymorons. You know, they talk about military intelligence being an oxymoron. I'll tell you what, you know, the tolerant left is exactly an oxymoron because the left is anything but intolerant. So you have this big, you know, the Trump rallies are quite an event. Have you, Jimmy, have you been to a Trump rally?
I never have.
You've not been to a Trump rally. I've been to multiple Trump rallies, wearing my Breitbart hat. I covered a rally in a couple rallies here in Nashville.
Do they sell like hats and T-shirts there?
There are vendors outside.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm trying to think. I've probably been to like he's had a rally in Nashville in the municipal auditorium a couple times, and that was totally crowded. And then he's had events here at Rocket Town in Nashville, and then one at out at in Franklin. He had an event there. Well, I've seen those. And I've been to a rally. I think I went to one in Knoxville. And then also I went to another one in Birmingham, was there, and was to a rally in New Hampshire once. And they're just like they're big time event. It's hard getting in, and you got to wait in line forever. And then if you're press, you have to have all sorts of stuff done, and the Secret Service is checking you out. And it's just like, oh, it's not like, oh, just go for a rally for a couple. It's the entire day.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've been to one in Huntsville, Alabama. I was at the famous rally where he took on the NFL players for kneeling. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Oh, man. That was something. So at that particular rally in Minneapolis, they had like this past week, they had like 20,000 supporters there. But outside, the hundreds of left-wing Antifa, the tolerant types, they were punching Trump supporters. They were burning MAGA hats. They were throwing urine in at people. You know, just nice kind of tolerant stuff.
You know, you can punch or burn a hat at kind of, you know, at the ready. But if you're throwing urine, I'm guessing you planned that ahead of time.
I'm not sure how you could do it in the moment. Right?
Yeah, let's not go there.
We're not going there. When we come back, we'll have more from the Battleground State Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy. Back after this. And welcome back to the Battleground State Report. Michael Patrick Leahy, Doug Kellett off this week. He'll be back next week. And so the big news of this past week was the America is becoming a battleground, actually, and not just a rhetorical battleground. Physical violence began in the 2020 presidential election this past week in Minneapolis, where the tolerant left decided to start punching Trump supporters they didn't like. And you're going to see more and more of this. The Cold War has escalated. It's heating up. I don't know exactly how bad it's going to get, but it's going to get worse. There's no question about it. It's not going to get better because that's what the left does. And, you know, and the president, by the way, is not sitting back. I mean, he went to this this rally. In fact, In Minneapolis, Minnesota last night. I think we may have some clips of those. If you can bring them up there, Jimmy, at some point. Just give me the high sign when we got them. But, you know, he went to this rally and he said, look, I lost Minnesota by 44,000 votes last time. We are going full on to win it this time. And I actually, we had a quote from Brad Parscale, who heads up the Trump campaign, who said, look, we are all in to win. This is going to be a major focus, a full-on effort to win Minnesota. And the Democratic Farm Labor Party there, well, they're actually the Communist Party, but they call themselves the Democratic Farm Labor Party. Said, we've never seen this happen in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, Minnesota. Do you know the last time a Republican won Minnesota? Jimmy, do you want to take a guess?
30 years ago.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close. 30 years ago would put us back, what?
89?
Yeah. No. It was more. It was like 1972.
Wow.
When Richard Nixon won it. And by the way, Minnesota was the only state, I think, that voted for Walter Mondale in 1984. But he was, you know, a former senator from Minnesota. So you can kind of figure that. But not since 1972. Has a Republican won in Minnesota, and so let's go back this past week and let's hear what old President Trump had to say at the rally in Minnesota.
For the next 13 months, think of that. It seems like yesterday. For the next 13 months, we are going to fight with all of our heart and soul, and we are going to win the great state of Minnesota in 2020.
So, you know what I like about that? When President Trump says, we are going to fight with all of our heart and soul to win Minnesota, I believe him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this has been the problem with the Republicans in the past. They kind of curl up in the fetal position, you know, they're fetal position Republicans. And they don't fight back. Oh, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. That is not President Trump. President Trump is, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back twice as hard.
Yep.
And by the way, you start it, fine. Once you start it, this is the thing. Again, say what you will about the foibles of President Donald Trump. And believe me, there are more than a few personal foibles of President Donald Trump. But his best line is, okay, you can hate me, but look at how bad they are. You don't want them. You can hate me, but you got to vote for me. You just have to admire that moxie of the guy,
mm-hmm.
that never give up, approach to it. And so when he says they're going to win Minnesota, you know, they only lost by 44,000 votes last time. And I think in many respects, and I think it's really smart to focus on Minnesota. And the reason is they got very close last time, 44,000 votes, 1.5% of all votes. And Minnesota has become increasingly polarized. You've got, you know, the Minneapolis area where they're, you know, left-wing, snowflakey, social justice warrior, aggrieved folks of all sorts of, you know, various groups that you know, the aggrieved party, right? And they're totally intolerant, and they show up at the rallies and try to beat up Trump people. That's how nice they are. But then the rest of Minnesota, you've got, you know, it's rural. It's more small manufacturing. It's pretty conservative. And so the president, I think, is going to try and bring that folks out. And now his campaign manager, there was a story in the New York Times about this. So his campaign manager, Brad Parscale, said, look, we're going to win, and we're going to basically bring in lots of financial resources, and we're going to be, you know, covering that. And by the way, we have up in Minnesota, our crack reporter, Anthony Gutkowski, is on the ground in Minnesota and reporting. He was there and filed a couple of stories from the rally at the Target Center, and it was he called it Madness in Minneapolis. Which I think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we started this, Jimmy, our idea of the Battleground State Report was just to focus on those 17 states whose outcome is uncertain in the 2020 presidential election. Okay. And, you know, we've got, I kind of go through this. I'll go through this list here just because it's a good reminder of where those 17 states are. Pretty much, you know, there are 13 states that are going to be absolutely going blue for the Democrats. There's no question about that. You know, California, New York, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, states like that. And then there are about 20 states that are going to be red no matter what. Tennessee, for instance, is going to be red no matter what. Missouri, Indiana, you know, well, Missouri and South Carolina, for instance. But here are the 17 battleground states whose outcomes are unknown. In the West, it's Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. In the Midwest, it's Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and we'll add Indiana into that list. In the South, East, it's Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. In the Northeast, it's New Hampshire and Maine. So that's 17 states. Now, we don't know how they're going to end up voting. Last time around, of those 17, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Minnesota, that's 4, Virginia, that's 5, Maine and New Hampshire at 6-7, Maine with an asterisk. 7 of those 17 voted for Hillary Clinton, 10 voted for President Trump. But, you know, here's a revelation that I had, Jimmy. The Battleground State News, we originally envisioned, when we launched this back almost a year ago now, in the Battleground State Report, our website, battlegroundstatenews.com, which summarizes all these stories in battleground states. I think actually, when you look at it, the term battleground actually has a couple meanings. One is the battleground in terms of a state where the outcome of the Electoral College vote is unknown. And that's where those 17 fit. But I think all 50 states are battlegrounds now, Jimmy.
It's the Battleground Country Report.
It's really the Battleground Country Report because the country, even in a state that's totally blue, like California, there is a battle there. There's a battle between conservatives who support the rule of law and left-wing lunatics who want to destroy the American Constitutional Republic and stifle freedom of speech, stifle freedom of assembly for everybody else. That's, I think, what we've got going on. And these fights that they're not just rhetorical. They're going to escalate to physical fights. That's not I'm not encouraging it. I'm just stating what is going to happen. It started in Minnesota this past week, and we're going to see it spread to the rest of the country. Unfortunately, we'll have more of that when we come back on the Battleground State Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy, back after this.
This is the Battleground State Report.
And welcome back. Battleground State Report. Michael Patrick Leahy here. Doug Kellett off this week, but he'll be back. But Jimmy handling the production is still with us here. And an eventful week. The Cold War in America sort of started heating up with the violence perpetrated upon Trump supporters by left-wing lunatics in Minneapolis, going to be spreading throughout. And you want to look at where are these battlegrounds drawn? Who are the sides, right? It's almost as if the United States, we talked about this before, it's tribal now. To which tribe do you affiliate with? Do you affiliate with the left-wing anti-American crowd, as do, the Democratic Party, as do all the Democratic presidential contenders, as do the mainstream media, almost all the educational establishment, and increasingly a lot of Fortune 500 companies like the NBA. The NBA is just a disgrace. I mean, they have chosen communist cash over freedom and liberty. And, of course, the case in point I want to get back to how divided the country has become, and it's all based upon a different set of beliefs, and the guys on the left believe in globalism. They believe they don't believe in the American Constitution or American sovereignty. This is the fundamental problem, and why is that? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. It's because there have been 30, 40 years of indoctrination in the public schools. We talked about this many a time. I mean, you've got basically left-wing I Hate America textbooks. You got 90% of the teachers in public schools are left-wingers, and particularly when it comes to teaching American history. I mean, we've gone through this so many times, right, and talked about it, but it's there. It's happening. And the school boards although elected, have become nothing but rubber stamps, and a lot of left-wingers have come into the school boards. The educational bureaucrats are a bunch of left-wingers, and they're promoting an anti-American theme. After 30 years of this, you end up with a generation that doesn't understand America, doesn't understand American history, and reviles our constitutional republic. That's where we are. And now they're running marketing for the NBA. And, all of the basketball stars who have brains full of mush when it comes to this. Don't know anything except, you know, they're pampered, you know, multimillionaire egos. And then the basketball coaches who've been equally pampered and who hate Donald Trump. Are you listening, Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs and Stephen Kerr of the Golden State Warriors? Now, you know, they by the way, you talk about having an impact on a battleground state, North Carolina. So the NBA, the morally superior NBA, decides that they hate North Carolina because the common sense legislators in North Carolina had the temerity to pass a law that said in public buildings, adult males will not be able to go into the bathrooms of little girls. Now, let me just stop a minute. Isn't that common sense, Jimmy?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was an issue.
Dude, I'm telling you. Well, because you're a common sense guy.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, doing your working for a living. No, they think that's a bad thing, and they have condemned North Carolina to the extent that they're not going to hold any events in North Carolina because, oh, no, that's bad. But here you have the communist, freedom-repressing Chinese government, which apparently pays lots of money to the NBA and NBA stars. I guess like about $1 billion a year in revenue coming to the NBA from these guys. And so the Chinese communists are throttling freedom in Hong Kong. I mean, it's been documented. You see, Hong Kong for 99 years was leased to the British. And then at the end of that period of time, they turned it over to China. China said, oh, we'll keep Hong Kong free. Nah, not so. They're clamping down. They're shutting down freedom of speech left and right and taking away, you know, the normal democratic privileges that people in Hong Kong had had for so long. Millions in the street in Hong Kong protesting that. And where is the NBA on that? Well, silent except for one poor guy, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, one of the NBA teams. I think his name is Daryl Morey. So he just inadvertently tweets, sends out a tweet. I support freedom in Hong Kong. Well, the Chinese see that and they go ballistic. They go ballistic. They basically tell the NBA, you will grovel to us and you will discipline that impertinent speech of that general manager of the Houston Rockets, or you will lose all our money. So what does the freedom-loving NBA do? They grovel. They kowtow to the Chinese communists for cash, and they do it in a morally superior way. It's just utterly disgusting. But that's where we are right now. And then they force this poor guy, Daryl Morey, to make this, you know, kind of semi-groveling apology to the Chinese who are throttling freedom in Hong Kong. You know, they're doing these protests in Hong Kong. They're waving American flags there. Right. And what do the American coaches here and the NBA players and head of the NBA do? They don't do anything. You know, this Steph Curry, you know, this big, big star of Golden State Warriors, social justice warrior. He's so woke. He's, you know, he's a defender of the poor. Ask him about human rights abuses in Hong Kong, in China. Ask him about the throttling of liberty in Hong Kong. What does he have to say? Nothing. Nothing. These people cannot think for themselves. They don't understand liberty. They're selfish. They want their money. They don't care whose rights are violated. They want to get the money from the Chinese communists. And they are the puppets of the Chinese communists. And I'm talking about you, Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. I'm talking about you, James Harden, Houston Rockets. You apologized to China. Because his general manager put a little 7-word tweet out saying, we stand with Hong Kong and freedom. James Harden doesn't stand for freedom. James Harden stands for money in James Harden's pocket. Why are Americans backing the NBA? Why are they putting up with this kind of communist cave, this communist supporting cash-hungry, selfish egomaniacs in the NBA? Why is that happening, Jimmy? Do you have any idea? I don't. I mean, I think it's a disgrace. But then you have the self-righteous Greg Popovich, who from San Antonio Spurs, been pampered his whole life. He thinks he's a good basketball coach, but he's kind of a jerk. And so he comes out, and so the only guy pushing back against China violation of trade with the United States, stealing secrets, throttling liberty in Hong Kong, is President Donald Trump. So what does Greg Popovich say when China tamps down on freedom of speech with the Houston Rockets general manager? He blames Donald Trump. It's insane. It's a very insane world in which we live right these days, I think, Jimmy. But that's the problem. I mean, you see, you got the NBA grovel to the communist Chinese attitude, which permeates the left-wing view of the world. You got that. And then you got freedom-loving Americans, and they don't like that one bit. So there's no way that you – there's not going to be a kumbaya moment, I don't think. I think you got a clash of worldviews here. And that clash is going to be continuing for the next 13 months in America, not just in the 17 electoral battleground states, but in all 50 states. And, the left is violent. That's what they do, and they'll continue. They just showed it in Minnesota. They're going to be violent, and the conservatives are going to defend themselves, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to end well, and we're going to have a very tumultuous, the worst, most miserable, meanest presidential election in history. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy, back with the Battleground State Report after this.
Battleground State Report with Michael Patrick Leahy and Doug Kellett.
Well, another eventful week here as the country continues to go into convulsions over the 2020 election. And you have basically the traditional American forces against the anti-American forces. And it's not going to be a pretty 13 months. But it's a crucial 13 months because I think if the gains that have gone forward in the Trump administration continue, I think we're going to have a good chance of reviving and keeping the United States great. But if, on the other hand, the left, the Democrats win, they're going to reverse all these things, and it's going to be just pretty awful. We're talking about China and the NBA. That's a big issue here going on here, as is this utter deprivation of the president's due process rights, constitutional rights, provided by Nancy Pelosi's behind-the-scenes secretive impeachment inquiry. We talked about this a little bit during our weekday program, but I just want to kind of recap how bad this is. It's really, really bad. So, according to the Constitution, everybody has due process rights. If accused of a crime, you have a right to hear what the allegations are. You have the right to confront your accusers. And you have the right to a defense counsel. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to provide any of these to the president of the United States. Now, you want to look at what's the game plan of the Democrats here. What are they trying to accomplish? Now, they control Congress. Nancy Pelosi elected Speaker. There are 235 members of Congress who are Democrats, 109 who are Republicans, one vacant seat, special election, I think, in January on that. And they control the House of Representatives. She's doing the same thing now with this impeachment inquiry that they did when they jammed through unconstitutionally the Obamacare law and the fact that the Supreme Court ended up 5-4 allowing that to go through is another story for another day. But it was a very bad decision by the Supreme Court in NFIB v. Sebelius. So the way you are, the way if you follow the Constitution and you want to undertake an impeachment proceeding, there are a couple things. Impeachment is a political process, and really it should be done in a transparent way according to the Constitution. And it should be done not in a partisan fashion, but in a way where there's a groundswell of public support for impeachment. Now, this is not what we have going on right now. The impeachment process, the impeachment inquiry announced by Nancy Pelosi is a pure effort to further divide the country. There's no question about that. This is dividing the country. And on the left, you know, the people that never acknowledged the legitimacy, as they should have, of the election of Donald Trump in 2016 are trying to do a redo of the presidential election. And the way they're doing it is by breaking the Constitution and putting this, you know, kangaroo court together to have an impeachment inquiry of the president. Now, if you're doing this right, you would do it transparently and open. That's not what Nancy Pelosi's doing. The right way to do it is the way the House of Representatives did it both times and previously where a president has been impeached. And the way they did that in 1868 was that the Republican House held a vote and said, we're prepared to begin impeachment inquiries. And once that impeachment, the impeachment process, rather, once that full vote of the House is taken, it goes to the Judiciary Committee where the person who is being accused of these alleged high crimes and misdemeanors has an opportunity to confront his accusers, to hear the charges against them, and to have representation. That happened in the 1868 impeachment of Andrew Johnson. It happened in the 1999 impeachment of Bill Clinton. And so that vote was held. That's not what Nancy Pelosi has done. She has, did not hold a vote of the House of Representatives to conduct an impeachment, begin the impeachment process, which would have, had she done it according to the Constitution and the rules of the House of Representatives, the next step is Judiciary Committee hearings where the president would be represented, where he'd be able to confront his accusers and hear all the charges. Not happening. Instead, Nancy Pelosi, on her own, without getting a vote from the House of Representatives, says, we're going to hold an impeachment inquiry. And I'm going to have these three other committees, not judiciary, conduct the hearings. And one of these is a select committee on intelligence headed up by Pencilneck, the lying Adam Schiff from California, S-C-H-I-F-F. You know, the guy who made up, in a committee hearing, made up a conversation pretending to be the conversation the president had never had that conversation. Made it up. Lied about it. I mean, blatantly partisan guy. So they're holding hearings behind closed doors. And the president doesn't know and can't defend himself against that. And by the way, this alleged whistleblower, the one who allegedly, you know, filed the first complaint on hearsay. By the way, this is how deep state this thing is. He's a CIA plant in the White House. According to reports, this guy, Jimmy, guess who he flew to Ukraine with a couple years ago?
President Trump.
No. No, he flew with Vice President Joe Biden.
Oh.
He's a CIA plant in the White House, put there probably by that loudmouth and, saboteur, former CIA Director John Brennan, to kind of create havoc for the president. And, the CIA changed its rules so that, you can file a alleged whistleblower complaint without firsthand knowledge. So that's what this guy does. Somebody told him about this call, and he characterizes it in an inaccurate way. And he has ties. He's a registered Democrat who has ties to Joe Biden because allegedly he accompanied Joe Biden to the Ukraine a couple years ago. Does that sound fair to you, Jimmy?
Not really.
It sounds like a setup. Well, the reason it sounds like a setup is because it is a setup. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's just a disgrace. And so this whole process. So now this alleged whistleblower, the president, if the constitutional guarantee of due process, which every other American has, which even they want to extend to illegal aliens, but which Nancy Pelosi is not extending to President Donald Trump. Can you believe that? He would have the right to confront his accuser. But now they want this, get this, this whistleblower, alleged whistleblower, now can only testify maybe remotely with hidden identity, and now maybe just in writing. Good grief. Hmm. Can you say setup? So that's going on. But the good news is, and then Fox News. Oh, good grief. Fox News, that now, you know, the globalist Paul Ryan, who did everything possible as Speaker of the House in the first 2 years of the Trump administration to, you know, sabotage the Trump agenda. He's now on the board of directors of Fox News, and he's hanging with the people running Fox News now are the children of Rupert Murdoch, and they're a bunch of left-wingers. And so they're turning Fox News, and Fox News has a polling operation. So, you know, when you do a poll, polls these days are designed for the purpose of setting the public narrative. They're not they're political tools. And so, by the way, so Fox News has an alleged bipartisan polling group. And so they do, and when you do this, well, the question you ask is setting the agenda. So now their big question is, shall the president be impeached? Do you support it or not? Okay, so they put this question out. Now, the Fox News poll is not bipartisan. It always oversamples Democrats. In fact, you remember the election, the special election in Alabama, where Judge Roy Moore, the Republican guy, lost to Doug Jones. Yeah, I think that was in December of 2017. In that polling, the night before, Fox poll came out and said, Doug Jones is going to win by 10 points. He's the Democrat. You know how much you won by? 0.5%. A little bit off. Well, here's a little trick when you look at polling. What is the breakdown of the party affiliation of those folks? 48% of the respondents of the Fox News poll, Democrats. 40% Republicans, 12% independent. That's not the way it works. That's not the way the country really looks. You know, Democrats don't have an 8+ over the Republicans, and there's not that few in the independent. So it's all been manipulated. So they do this poll. 51% of the country supports impeachment. It's balderdash. That's basically Fox News trying to set the agenda. You know, Fox News has turned against the president because it's now being run by Rupert Murdoch's liberal kids, and they kicked, you know, the late Roger Ailes out. Roger Ailes made Fox News, and now his kids are trying to destroy it. You know, all of the news people there, Shep Smith, left-winger, Chris Wallace, left-winger, the news people are lefties. The evening commentary folks are still conservatives, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity. But the question is, how long will they be kept at Fox? I think the answer is they may not be around much longer. I don't have any evidence. That's just a supposition on that. So, you know, Fox has turned. Drudge has turned against the president. Everything is slanted against the president. Drudge Report. The Drudge Report has turned. And now, as to why that is, I don't know, but that's what's happened. The only outlets that are – the only way that you can get a fair and reasonable report on what the president is doing is look at battlegroundstatenews.com, the Tennessee Star in Tennessee, the Michigan Sun, the Michigan Star in Michigan, the Ohio Star in Ohio, the Minnesota Sun in Minnesota. Those are the places to go. And then nationally, Epoch Times and then Gateway Pundit. But it's the Cold War in the country has turned into a hot war. And now, Jimmy, every state is a battleground state. It's going to be a crazy 13 months, but we'll document it here each week on the Battleground State Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy. Next week, Doug Kellett will be back. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.